Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're here to share our deeply disturbing stories with you.
Yes, we are. We're two licensed counselors, by the way. Just want to throw our creds out there.
During the day.
That's right. And by night, we're
podcaster
awesome.
Podcaster elites.
Awesome podcasters. Podcasting is our superpower.
It is. And we both happen to wear spiffy outfits today.
I know. Do you want to describe yours?
I'm wearing a white dress, like professional dress with gold buttons down the side, but at the bottom it kind of looks like a white tennis skirt.
It like flares. It's a fit and flare.
It's a fit and flare, apparently, and I have a nice little button-up jacket that goes with it to make really pull the room together.
You looked super duper cute when I saw you get out of the car.
Thanks. I'm not used to dressing up, and like in high school I never wore dresses, so this is a lot of emotional like overcoming for me. I'm a doctor now, so I kind of have to act like it sometimes.
You have to wear sensible shoes and a tweed blazer.
Figured at least once in my life.
Does your blazer have elbow patches?
No.
Okay.
I'm not that level yet.
I'm going to look out for one when I'm vintage shopping.
Will you let me know?
No, I'll get it for you. It'll be a gift.
Aww.
It'll have to be just the right one. Just the right...
Just enough tweed.
Shades of earth.
Earth shades. I like, like dark greens and browns.
Moss and soil is what I will be looking for you.
Moss and soil.
And I'm wearing a tunic that has a cat print on it.
Adorable. It's like dark maroony purple.
I didn't wear it to work, but when I got home, I wasn't happy with
You're
my work outfit.
Feeling sassy?
Well, now I'm feeling sassy. Before, I was feeling a little bit too frumpy.
I guess I can't assume sassy refers to cats. My stepmom
sassy
had a cat named
Sassy.
Sassy
is good. Frumpy is bad. Oh my God, I used to have a cat named Sass. Sassafras Sapphire.
Homeward bound cat named Sassy.
Well, mine was like early 70s, so it was pretty homeward bound.
Was it?
I was ahead of the curve.
Of course you were.
One of the best cats I've ever had.
Aww.
Not evil, like Kiwi, my current cat roommate.
Kiwi.
I'm going to, after this, will you try to pet her?
She's right there in the hallway. I see her. She's walking around.
Oh my God, is she lurking?
She's lurking. She just went into the other room.
Well,
she's curious what's going on.
She normally wouldn't be, but Asher, my son, who is the only person in this world that can actually... like touch her without being eaten alive, he left today to go harvest wheat down at the wheat farm.
Aww.
So she is going to pretend like she likes us.
It's a very Spokane thing to do,
go harvest wheat
at the wheat farm.
I mean, Asher's essentially a city boy, so this is a stretch. Oh my God, Kiwi is entering
Kiwi
the pod
is
base.
In the room stretching her massive
Don't
thighs.
Believe anything. She's
hi,
gonna
kitty, kitty, kitty.
She's gonna circle around your ankles. She's gonna act like
she
likes you.
Hi, kitten.
It's 100% manipulative.
Aww, what a good kitty. She's like
okay, if
better.
She draws blood, it's not my fault.
Aw, kitten.
Aw. Don't trust
she's
it.
She's letting me love her.
Do you know she bit all the way through my son's lip?
What the f-
like
lip?
All the way through, like
okay,
a piercing.
I'm done petting your cat.
She just made me bleed 2 days ago.
My kitten makes me bleed almost daily, but he has remorse. Cat, your cat's trying to knock things off the
cat
table.
This cat is manipulative and a user.
Are you a user?
Yeah. She's pretending she likes you to get her needs
met. She's jumping on me. She's a big cat, too. If, like, she tried to get me, she'd fuck me up.
yeah, she's strong. She's serious.
She's a puma.
But really pretty, though.
She
aren't her markings
very,
pretty?
Very, very nice to
very
me.
Symmetrical.
Very nice to me, aren't you? Yes, you're good.
Okay, kitten. She's going to bite you any second. I'm going to laugh my ass off.
Hi, kitten. Is it just like a matter of time?
There's no warning. There's no rhyme or reason.
She's really trying to tangle her tail in the wires.
No.
I feel scared, like I'm being circled by a shark now. She's not leaving. She's just
exactly. It's because Asher's gone. Whenever Asher's gone, she pretends to like me, but it's just... getting her needs
don't
met.
Don't bite the cable, cat. Bad idea.
What?
Don't look at me in the eyes. I know that's a bad thing. Oh my God, it's on my lap.
You are going to
oh
get
my God.
Hit.
I can't have a cat bite on my face.
I'm gonna
I have
take
a tail.
Picture of you.
It's in my mouth.
Oh my God, you and Kiwi, this is hilarious. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Of course my phone is... camera is so shitty, like...
Oh, she just looked at me. And
all those photos are going to be in a blur.
She's smelling me in a scary way. Okay, so
what's new with you?
How do I get the cat. Okay, the.
Do you have cat hair in your mouth?
Yeah. Great.
You know, I was really surprised when you told me you got a cat. I really didn't peg you for a cat type.
I used to have a cat that was an outdoor cat named Pirate, and he was the coolest cat in the world. I thought he was a girl cat all his life until we went to the vet, and I was like, why hasn't he never ever had babies?
Oh.
Because it was a boy cat.
Pirate was a boy cat.
Pirate was a boy kitty. Yes. No, so, like, I'm... still hair in my mouth. So, cats and me have a weird, like, I respect them. I respect their independence and their general assholeness. I get that.
You love the allure of a cat.
But sometimes I am just too confrontational for a cat. Like, I look at it, and it looks at me and doesn't look away, and then I don't look away because I'm like, well, I'm clearly the more dominant one, and then I get attacked by a cat.
If you go in her face and look at her like that, I guarantee...
She's rubbing on my purse. She's marking me.
I guarantee she will swipe Satan. At your face. She is. She's Satan in a fursuit.
Satan in a fursuit. Yeah, so it's something to me that, like with a kitten, though, he's horrible to me, but he means well.
I have had wonderful, wonderful cats in my life. This is the first cat I've ever had that
she acts like the horrible. Sweetest cat.
No, this is all lies right now. If Asher was here, she wouldn't even be in this room. This is lies and manipulation. It's smoke and mirrors.
I've never seen this cat come up to us before.
Exactly.
Ever.
It's because Asher's out of town for the night.
Gotcha.
Harvesting wheat. He's going to learn how to drive a tractor.
I noticed that the cat's not coming up and rubbing on you. She's not rubbing on you at all.
Well, you're a fresh meat.
Yeah, I can trick me. Fall for it. Yeah, so my weekend, I was in D.C., Washington, D.C., for my graduation. I walked.
Your photos were so pretty.
Well, thank you. I only had time to do the front of my hair.
That's the only part that you see, so
I know, and I got to put the cap on, so it worked out well.
It's like shaving the legs just up to the pant line.
I was like,
nobody cares.
I did the whole, like, 15 minutes more of sleep, but, like, you're asleep, and you don't realize, yeah, but you're graduating in an hour, so you should probably get up.
No, you look super really pretty, I thought.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Got to kind of have a nice little bow tied on top of, like, go do good things in the world, so that was good.
That's nice.
It was nice. It was really humid there, though. I'm very happy we are not that humid
here. I know. I like the dry heat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me too.
I worked on Saturday. I did a yoga calm workshop. And then I had stupidly volunteered the night before to watch the baby overnight.
Mm.
And I was so tired after that workshop and, like, zombie exhausted. And then they brought the baby over and... the baby's still, you know, she's like a month and a half. She doesn't really know the difference between night and day yet. So at about 2:30 a.m., she was like fully awake, ready to party, like looking at me. And I was trying really hard to, you know, not...
look back?
Like turn on the lights. I was trying to keep the lights low and like not make direct eye contact and like just, you know, mm-hmm. not like talk to her. But yeah, we were up for a while in the middle of the night. And I don't have my chops for that stuff anymore. I had a full-on baby hangover the next day. You gotta work up to that shit.
I believe it.
So, I mean, you know, she's adorable, though. And I'm just trying to help them out, because they're young parents. And
that's hard.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a big adjustment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I worked, and then I watched baby. And then I washed my convertible.
Yeah, which
yesterday.
I had to ride in today. It's very fun. So, fun little tidbit of information. Naomi and I have known each other for 10 years now.
It's our decade of friendiversary.
I know. It's been a long time. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has. And, yeah. And so the car, the convertible.
That's what first drew us together.
Because we had a car club that was started called Miss Shifters, all-female car club. And I have a 67 Buick Riviera. And
I have a 62 Buick Special.
Yeah, so we're kind of like amazingly hot Buick girls, which we'll post a picture later.
We will.
And yeah, so that's how we first originally kind of met through that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
And now we still do wine trips in it, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, we had to go to the store to get some wine.
Yep.
In style.
Mm-hmm.
I call you my partner in all things, because I've realized, uh-huh. like... You're part of, like, every little thing I'm doing. The podcast partner,
yes.
Roller derby partner, private practice partner.
Yeah, private practice. We used to work together.
We used to work together.
On the daily, yeah.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
It's because our birthdays are, like, one day apart. We're basically the same person.
Well, you're just one of those, like, constant, reliable people who aren't needy, who are just as selfish as I am, that appreciate the finer things in life.
You just basically said Taurus. So, yeah.
We're now up to 1,028 listeners.
Oh, my God. Are we?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is exciting. I hope Estonia's back.
Estonia, last time. I don't know.
I know you didn't listen last time, but
we'll
if you're back
you.
This time, listen to the last episode. I did a lot of research on your state. I know you guys have a lot of wolves. I know you're really into hedgehogs.
It's so U.S., Australia, Netherlands, Brazil for August.
Very cool.
Netherlands, yeah. Brazil. Australia.
I'm already sweaty.
It's free from Australia. It's probably like one person.
How hot is it right up in here, do you think, in our pod base?
It's not as hot as the hottest it's been.
I would say it's probably close to 100, though, wouldn't you?
No. 90s? No. I would say, like, young 90s.
Young 90s. Yeah. Coming of age 90s.
Coming of age 90s. Like, slightly hot, sweaty, probably smells a little off, but you're still into it.
Yeah. All right.
Welcome to the young 90s. So, I hear I'm going first.
Yes, you get to go first. Damn it. I love going first.
So, don't worry, you'll get to go soon. I didn't pick out my topic until my drive here. So, you're welcome. I was very busy today.
I'm excited to hear what your topic is, though.
I bet you are. And I'm going to start off with a question today.
Okay, what's your question?
My question is, tell me about the most embarrassing kissing story that you have.
Okay, first of all, I have to say something to my boyfriend, Paul. Earmuffs. Okay, let's go on.
Continue.
Embarrassing. I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of kissing stories. Can I just say, like,
I didn't say
not
all
enjoyable?
Your I didn't say all your
Can
kissing
I say,
stories.
I don't really have embarrassing, but how about not enjoyable? Would that qualify?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and then say, yeah, explain.
I can't name names, though.
Yeah, I don't want to
know.
This
is a small town.
It is. Everyone knows everybody.
Yeah, it's very incestuous. It's like 3 degrees up in Spokane. So, I had a massive, massive crush on somebody. Mm. And crushes are great because it's usually on somebody you don't know at all. You know, it's just like from afar thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I had a massive crush on somebody for a long time. And just like from afar, I thought, boy, we'd probably be great together. And
boy.
Then, yeah, boy, was I wrong.
Boy, I've had those thoughts before and they didn't pan out.
So we went on a little, you know, like go have a beer or whatever. And then afterwards, and the conversation was dull. So already I'm like, no, not good. Like, my crush is ruined. This was...
Thanks for ruining my dreams.
Like, reality.
This was supposed to be my fairy tale ending.
Reality crashed down pretty hard. So then we're, like, in the car on the way back, and, you know, he actually looked at me, like, he was taking me back to my car and said these words... So, should we make out now, or what? I mean, that's never... And this was... Let me just say...
The look on her face right now, I could see, was the look she gave
him. This was in the last 10 years, so this is not...
Oh, this is adult you.
These are full-grown adults in their, like, late 30s, 40s. This is not teenage-ness. But, you know, I'm super fucked up, so I'm like, okay...
Sure.
Sure.
Do I have to take my braces off?
I just really, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm always in it for the story. So, like, we go in, and it was the most Wonder Bread, horrible, like, I felt like I was kissing my brother.
Ew, weird.
Sort of kiss. And literally, while our, like, lips were mashing, I was thinking in my head about how all the people I was going to tell about how horrible this kiss was. Like, mm-hmm. in the moment, that's where I was at with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Wow,
wonderful.
Yeah, that was it.
So, my horror story was with actually my first boyfriend ever, who I was really into. He was my, like, Kurt Cobain, played guitar, grungy kid, and he had just eaten a bag of barbecue chips. I hate barbecue chips to this day because of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's chunks of barbecue chips that went into my mouth.
What? They were still in his mouth?
They were still in his mouth.
And he passed them over to you with his tongue? Like a tongue shovel service?
I think it kind of went, like, through the sides of his mouth.
Oh, wait, like in the spittle?
See,
like a spittle tunnel?
And it,
you know, I have to buy you, like, some KC masterpiece next time.
Oh, I hate them. I will not eat them. I don't like it. I don't like it. Like, unless it's a sauce on some, like, direct meat. I don't like it. Yeah, so it went in my mouth, and it was just like, I know.
I'm just sorry. Like, I'm immature.
I'm already a beer and before this wine. So
you pre-funked.
I had to. It was, you know, my work.
Yeah.
They told me to. Yeah. So I had soggy barbecue chips put in my mouth.
That is disgusting.
It is, really. So my topic today is about kissing, believe it or not, as a deeply disturbing thing.
I say bring it on.
So this isn't, you know, us talking about this is not the first time that people have complained about kissing. Have you heard other people complain about bad kissing or, like, not wanting to kiss or anything like that?
Oh, I broke up with somebody before because I didn't like to kiss.
And women are more likely to want that kissing as a connection and relationship than men do. So the thing is, like, the interesting part is it is part of sexuality, but there really is no reason why. And that's where there's a lot of mystery around it. So, kissing is also known as smooching, necking, snogging, making out, lip locking, busting, osculation.
Wait, osculation?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So it's it's rarely mentioned. So when you look up research about sexology, if you prefer, it rarely talks about kissing within that.
Why?
And it really is an erotic element of sex, but it often is ignored in literature because it often occurs in non-sexual context with non-erotic meaning.
Oh.
So kissing someone's
cheek. Because you can, like, kiss your kid or your dog or whatever, and
cheek,
it's not erotic.
Yeah. So kissing the Pope's ring or a king's ring. It's a signal of reverence. Kissing dice for good luck. So there's also kissing
your ass goodbye.
Yeah, there's also kissing that signals, like, betrayal. So, like, kissing, like, the mafia kiss of death.
Mm.
Or the phrase, kiss my ass. Right?
Or the Violent Femmes song, kiss off.
Kiss off and in the wind. Man, we've had so many. We're going to have to play a song on here at some point, just, like, part of it.
We're going to. Well, yeah, like, 30 seconds.
Maybe 10. And we'll sing with it so you can't tell what
That's right.
song it really is. So Percy Bysshe Shelley defined kissing as, quote, soul meeting soul on lover's lips. Lovely. Certainly possible for lips only kissing to express deep love, but for soul to meet soul, most lovers engage in open mouth kissing. Right?
French kissing.
Tongue to tongue. Known in the English-speaking world as French kissing.
Why is it called French kissing, though?
So, well, what a lovely question. So, I'm going to wrap around back to that.
Okay.
So, really, most but not all people consider kissing with the tongue to be really intimate. Some consider it like a precursor to intercourse, like what happens before. It's also a term that's used to describe fellatio and cunnilingus.
Kissing is?
Genital kissing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Meanwhile, many sex workers who routinely provide fellatio and vaginal and anal intercourse refuse to actually kiss on the lips or mouth-to-mouth because they view it as too intimate.
Yeah, and also you could get diseases. I mean, if you're kissing a variety of people all the time, that's not
safe. Do you know what else you can get diseases from?
Well, but there's protection you can use for down below. For kissing, there's no protection.
You could get a tongue condom.
Well,
you just put a condom on your tongue.
Get me a tongue condom then.
It's a simpler
shape. I mean, yeah, you could, like, kiss between some saran wrap, I guess, but I think it takes away some of the mystique.
Yeah, yeah. So when we're talking about, like, where does kissing come from, ancient Sanskrit text and about...
Sanskrit?
Do you know the actual word? Sanskrit?
Is it Sanskrit?
Sanskrit.
That's the, like, yoga language that I've been learning.
Wow.
By the way...
Everything's connected.
I am the worst one in my class at Sanskrit.
Oh, has it gotten to that point?
Well... In one of our last classes before we went on summer break, one of the teachers, like, spouted off, like, five different yoga poses in Sanskrit, and then, like, turned to us suddenly and was like, and if you don't know what those poses are, you should. And I was like, eek! Because, like, I didn't know any of them. But I didn't admit it.
You were like, you know, my population, like, that girl that I teach to,
they don't know Sanskrit either. So I feel like it's okay. Not everybody knows Sanskrit. I know some. I know, like the main poses in Sanskrit, but I don't know, like, every pose in Sanskrit.
Well, you can tell your teacher this, that Sanskrit provides the earliest documented evidence of human kissing.
So how do you say kissing in Sanskrit?
Don't ask me questions I don't know on the podcast.
I'm sorry. I thought it was related to your topic. Where's our looker-upper? I'll do it. You keep talking.
Ancient Europeans kissed, but the references really in ancient Greece literature suggest that the practice was actually a lot less frequent than 2,000 years ago among Europeans today. Most world cultures kiss, but not all Europeans introduce a practice to the indigenous peoples of Australia, Tahiti, and several locals in Africa. In some Asian cultures, lovers kiss only in private. Doing so in public is considered indecent.
Not me. PDA, bring it on.
So kissing's really a mystery. Only two other species are known to kiss as humans do. Chimpanzees and bonobos. They kiss to communicate attachment and to reduce group social tensions. But only humans and bonobos kiss deeply during sex. So there's only two other species that actually kiss.
Kumbana.
Kissing.
Kumbana. Kiss in Sanskrit. I might not be pronouncing that right.
So it isn't really clear either, like, why it evolved from that point. Some scientists wonder if it's from infant suckling. Human lips contain a ton of touch-sensitive nerves.
I like kissing.
And lip stimulation activates a surprisingly large area in the brain. Yeah.
So I only date people that have big, juicy lips.
Yeah.
For the kissing.
But here's the deal, though. So with that theory, all mammals suckle their young while only a tiny minority of mammals actually kiss.
Hmm.
So other researchers suggest that kissing originates in mammalian pre-chewing of food before feeding it young mouth-to-mouth.
But birdies do that, too, and they have beaks. They don't kiss. Don't they, like, chew up the food and, like, barf it in their baby bird's mouth?
Yeah, so pre-chewing. Yeah. So before feeding it to young, again, many more
which humans also do that, too. I don't know. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Pre-chewing food?
Yep. Humans do that. They will chew up sometimes food for their little babies.
Well, and if you think about it, too, like, just because we have a blender doesn't mean we're not pre-chewing.
Well, I mean, you might be out at a restaurant and, like, here, I'm just going to give it a couple chews to get it going, and then here you go, baby. I just want to expose all the things that they maybe don't tell you in the baby books.
That's fine. I like learning about your pre-chewing. So sometimes scientists have talked about kissing as being about bringing noses closer together because it plays a role in sensing pheromones and chemicals that play a subtle role in attraction and attachment. So many species respond to pheromones, but still only a few kiss. So there's this kind of mystery because all these things could possibly be linked, but it, you know, you'd make sense for most of those to be kissing, not just a small portion.
So there's something
still missing
specific to humans with it.
And the thing is, it's like kissing does boost your levels of neurotransmitters, so the typical dopamine, serotonin, the happy feel goods,
oxytocin,
dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins.
Do you think it gives you oxytocin?
Yes. So while it increases your blood levels, oxytocin goes up, which really is about personal attachment. It decreases the level of stress hormones at the same time.
Oh my God, kissing relieves stress.
Which makes sense why so many high schoolers kiss, because it is stressful to be a teenager.
Or just they're saying. Just horny.
And they're horny. It's an and. As a result, kissing can stressed reduce. Stressed
and horny.
Kissing lowers blood pressure and it reduces anxiety. So it is actually like physiologically really appealing and appeasing to kiss. And many people use kissing as a way to tell if you're compatible, which is exactly what you talked about. So like if I kiss them and it doesn't mesh, I'm not into them. Have you had that happen before?
Well, yeah, my story where I felt like this was like the worst kiss ever. Like it was so bland and blah.
Did you end that because of the kiss?
Partly, and also because of the lame conversation.
Wait, hold on. How long ago was this?
It was in the last 10 years. I don't want to reveal too much because Spokane's small.
I'm not going to reveal too much, but I think I remember the realm.
You know the person.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, because I remember a conversation specifically where she was telling me that the kissing was so lackluster that it made her doubt everything.
The conversation, too.
The curtains matched the drapes, so to speak.
It was so bad that, like, no amount of alcohol was going to get me in that bed.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So the women who are more into it than men, typically, they really enjoyed the tongue contact. The reason's unclear. Saliva contains trace amounts of testosterone, though.
For both women and men?
Yeah. So the hormone responsible for sexual desire in both men and women. So this makes researchers speculate that unconsciously men may open their mouths to deliver this hormone to increase women's sexual receptivity.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, so it could be a trick.
Let me feed you my testosterone.
Yeah.
And but my on the barbecue other hand, chips.
But on the other hand, there's tons of kissing that doesn't lead to sex. So, you know, again, who knows? But there's a lot of, like, half answers.
Do you like kissing?
Yes, I do. Yeah. But I also, like, am equally, like, if I go on, a stint of not kissing, it's not like I'm, like, craving it or I miss it.
Mm.
But then, like, if something's new. Like, to me, it's like if it's new, kissing is fun. If something is old. Old sounds bad, but, like, comfortable. I don't feel like I need to kiss.
You didn't kiss as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe, like, more open-mouth kissing at first.
Well, and maybe it's
more
because you've secured a mate by then.
Comforty smooches later.
Yeah. So, among English speakers, open-mouth kissing was not called French kissing until World War I, when large numbers of English and American soldiers fought in France. And discover that it was common among French people. However, the French do not call it French kissing. It is baiser amour, which is totally wrong. Don't understand that I did that wrong. It's called the kiss of love, is what that translates to. Or baiser avec la langue, totally wrong again, which is kissing with the tongue.
So there is something to it. Coming from that region then, like, we weren't doing it in the U.S. and then we went over there and were exposed to it, and then now, like, we're all about it.
Yeah, well, and women are more likely to be like demanding about kissing than men are. Typically most complaints about not kissing are from women than men.
I ended a relationship over that.
Yeah. Kissing, though, tends to make most people feel self-conscious, especially about the freshness of the breath.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I insist on good oral hygiene.
Well, exactly.
And
so,
I am, about that my own. Like, I don't want to, like, breathe on somebody either.
But you know that you're directly impacting the sales of Lifesavers, mints, gum, all those things. Like, a lot of those things are purchased because of insecurities about bad breath and kissing.
And I don't think those things make a difference, though. I think bad breath comes from, like, in the body.
Bad dental hygiene.
Well,
and, like,
and maybe, like, something you ate.
I have to say there are certain folks who have just the ability to make smells that other people do not.
I used to, back in the young 90s, take these like garlic capsules that were supposed to give you like
about the yeah
like you eat it and it's supposed to make you have really good
garlic
breath
before raw garlic for some reason.
No, but this was it was protected in this encapsulated thing, and then you swallow it so you don't have garlic breath, but it was supposed to like make you have like neutral breath.
How does eating something smelly make you not have?
Well, it was in a gel capsule, the garlic. I don't know. Is there young 90s?
I don't know. Young 90s.
I don't know. I felt like it worked, though, for me.
Did it?
I feel like
I
could,
still
like,
do it?
No.
How long did you do it for?
Like a couple years.
Really?
And then I probably forgot about it. Like everything. Like my gym membership. I just realized I've been paying
the young 90s
for a gym membership for like a year, and I have not even been there.
Oh, my God. Ugh, that hurts my inside.
Yeah, so I need to cancel it because I don't like the gym.
I
love exercise, but I don't like exercising in a gym setting.
I bought a gym membership 1 year, and I went like total of 6 times in a year. And I went to cancel, and they're like, why are you canceling? And I'm like, because I literally haven't been here. I don't know what to tell you, but nothing about this place wants me to come and sweat and be paranoid the whole time while people watch me do it. Not appealing.
I was just using mine to run during the winter on the treadmill because, you know, it's icy and fucking freezing here, and I'm not going to run outside.
I have a treadmill now, so.
And I was paying, like, every time I went, like, $10 to run on the treadmill. And that was, like, working for me. And then I really thought, you know what? I'm going more than the cost of a monthly. I'm just going to get the monthly. I haven't been back since I got the monthly.
It's so true.
Weird.
So remember back when like Flyby was on the team and Ida, like back in that era, we all started going to the gym like three to four times a week.
Our six packs and our
with
fitness.
Practice. That was probably the best shape I was ever in my life. Because we went to the YMCA together, and I remember, like, Flyby teach me, like, move your arms. You may as well burn those calories, too. And, like, everything was just so intense. I put the incline up, and we did all this stuff, and it was really, really intense. And then people stopped going together, and I was like, well, I'll just keep the membership for me. And then I stopped going.
No, I have not been.
Very socially driven.
Paid almost a year. Like, when it gets to fall, it'll be a year that I haven't been there, so... I need
to get rid of it. Do you feel like in the best shape of your life?
Well, I don't think I'm... I run outside now. It's nice. I do yoga. You know, I do other things.
How often do you run outside? Just out of sheer curiosity.
A couple times a week.
I need to get, like, a good exercise routine going before snowboarding season happens. Before it kills me.
I mean... I would run, like, all the time, but I don't let myself because I have to do yoga too.
Oh,
and I only have a certain amount of time.
It's exhausting.
When it's nice like this though, I don't even want to do yoga in the morning. I want to just run. I want to wake up and run. But I'm like, I'm a yoga teacher. I have to do yoga.
You do a lot
We're supposed to do it 6 days a week. And I definitely don't. Because I have 87 jobs. I have a limited amount of time.
Literally 87 jobs.
Yes. And I have if I get up early, which for me early is 6:30, I have time to do a half hour of something. And usually if it's nice out, I want to go run instead of doing yoga. So yoga suffers.
I didn't even wake up early enough to finish my hair for graduation, let alone work out.
Do you see my eyes? Am I wearing any eye makeup?
No, you're not.
I know. I have my big goal and this is where we're at.
So there was a study that asked 1,041 young adults how best to kiss. The majority said that fresh breath, clean teeth, and good grooming were essential prerequisites. So most valued soft, moist lips, deep breathing, mutual caressing, and assertiveness. Leaning in, putting emotion into kissing rather than remaining passive. Finally, most said...
Well, yeah, you gotta, do it with feeling.
Finally, the most said that the best kissing begins with mouth closed and proceeds to open mouth.
Of course. If somebody comes at you with an open mouth...
Oh,
like,
yeah,
no,
and, you just,
you.
And you see it coming.
That big fish mouth.
Flying at you, like, oh, no, what do I do with this?
No, I am backing away. I am turning my head. That is not gonna happen.
Kiss on the cheek with that.
And I have this weird thing. I don't like people to breathe on me. Like, I don't, I mean, it's, like, ever. Like, I don't like it. I think it's because I'm worried they're going to have bad breath, and I don't want to smell their bad breath. But I give that in return, too. Like, I try not to breathe on people if I think I have bad breath. I'll, like, hold my breath for a half hour, 45 minutes if necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Where you're, like, turning, like, sideways.
Yeah, like, I'm, like, holding it, turning it.
Like, I understand. Head, I understand, like, what might be happening.
Secretly breathing.
So that was my deeply disturbing thing, was to talk about the fact that we don't really understand why kissing exists. So we understand that it feels good. We understand it feels good, but it's not consistently done enough across enough cultures. Like, we really are...
So it's like, not everybody.
No, it's actually, like, Europeans are so the biggest, and really in Western culture in general, are the, like, main people who openly French kiss. Like, a lot of indigenous cultures and other cultures around the world, it's not very prominent, and it's much, much less sexual than us Westerners have made it.
It seems like it's very germy and a lot of spit swappy.
There's like some 80,000 germs that are in your mouth that you're openly just swapping with somebody. And
I also try when I kiss to not have a lot of extra saliva in my mouth. I try to be a very, you know,
like,
you know, controlled kisser, supportive kisser. Okay, Paul, earmuffs again. So there was somebody, this just triggered a memory, that I went out with before, and like, he had a fetish when we were kissing, that like, he got really turned on if like he was able to lick my teeth.
Wait. Why didn't you mention this earlier?
Because I just thought of it.
So wait, he would lick your teeth?
Like, he would get his tongue in there and, like, lick all around. Like, it was
I instantly started licking my teeth, and I don't like it.
Super insane turn on, and, like, I didn't like that, really, because I'm like, oh my god, what if there's, like, some trapped food? Like, well, I don't know, what are we licking?
Because it really goes into, like, fetish realm at that point of, like, this isn't just about... the dopamine being endorphins. This is about you, like, getting in there and the cracks of my teeth.
It was a total fetish, but I gotta say, like, I thought it was super weird, but, like, the fact I liked it only because he was so into it, and, like, that's kind of a turn-on. You know, when somebody's, like, super into something, and, like, I mean, I didn't, like, necessarily like it, but...
Well, and I think a lot of,
I guess, like, I liked the effects of
it. Is your
cat
stalking me? What is it doing?
I think she sees something on the floor. Is that a bug? Oh, yeah, there's a little spider. Oh, mini... No, it's just a little mini jumping spider.
It's near me. Why is that, like...
Those are the only kind I'm not afraid of, is those cute little black jumping spiders.
Far too close to me, and you just said it's... Oh, the cat's gonna, like, play with it.
She's playing cat and mouse with it.
Yeah, get it away from me. I don't know, I like your cat. It's getting the spider.
No, you don't know her. Don't say you like her. You don't know her.
Maybe I like her because she likes me.
She doesn't.
She loves me.
Don't. You're being fooled. You're being taken in by her kitty wiles.
I'm a cool kid, too. Just like your cat.
Okay.
You're really going to have your feet down with that little spider running
around?
I'm not
afraid of those. I'm afraid of every other kind, including daddy long legs that aren't spiders.
I like daddy long legs because they're helpful and they kill...
No, I don't like them.
They kill mosquitoes.
Yeah, but I grew up in California and our house was overrun by them and they were disgusting.
I grew up on the West Coast where they're overrun by mosquitoes and they help control the mosquitoes. So I appreciate them in the life cycle. You just leave them up there. Good job. Keep doing your job. I'll pay you, like, tips.
No, that's great. I totally respect people that like spiders and spider relatives.
Oh, there's certain spiders I do not like. The scary ones.
Yeah, no, we have scary ones in this house.
No, they're scary. Spokane is like big bugs, but like they're not that like dangerous from what I hear, other than like the black widow spider.
I'm really sweaty in my armpits. Spiders.
I know, I kind of like in these dresses, I feel like I have access to more air.
I know, so I'm putting my arms up airing, so I can get like some ventilation.
Airing out.
Paul, I love you, and I don't want this podcast to be the end of our relationship, so maybe, I don't know. I mean, you can listen if you want to, but really, you don't have to listen, and...
Sometimes there's a benefit to the significant other not listening.
We can hang out in other ways. Is it my turn? Are you taking a picture of me?
Yeah.
Anyways, I wasn't ready.
I don't care. It's your turn. Go.
Remember those sweaty pictures of me that you took without me knowing you were taking pictures?
Oh.
Those were not attractive, by the way.
We weren't made to look attractive. We were hot and sweaty.
Okay, but you
me took... trying to crush an apple with my thighs was also not attractive. So.
Yes, but I, you're welcome, edited out the last half where your crotch was showing. So
well, because
That's what friends do. Your sweaty pictures that were in the same photo set were all posed and cute and like, oh, I'm like so hot. And mine were like, I'm hot and tired and gross. So, yeah, I noticed that.
Well, it's okay. I have a video of myself crushing an apple. So, there.
No, not crushing an apple. You have a video of yourself holding an apple.
Whatever. I totally crushed that apple.
You did not crush that apple. But that's good. That means you're not possessed by a demon.
I'm
going
to take pictures of you constantly now.
Oh, are you my paparazzi?
Paparazzi. Yes.
Are you wondering what my topic is?
I'm so curious.
So, I did not prepare a whole lot for this, so we're on the same boat. See, that is not cute.
I won't.
You can fucking delete that. Thank you. What am I doing? Why am I holding my throat like that?
You did that when you were like, maybe, Paul, you don't have to listen to
the podcast. Oh, that's my thinking.
That's your thinking.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So in today's day and age, we're on our phones or computers or whatever, and all you see is these headlines, right? Like, constantly. They're on what you're looking at. They're on the side of what you're looking at. And you notice them. And that definitely enters your consciousness.
My brain space.
Yes. Even if it's something you didn't want to pay attention to or whatever. So all these headlines and, I mean, separate topic, I think that's a whole thing. But, so this is a headline I'd been seeing for a while, and I just, you know, you have limited time of what you're going to, like, look into. I never looked into it, so I decided to look into this for our podcast. And this is one I actually thought was your topic a couple times ago. So, I kept seeing these headlines about this Jeffrey Epstein Epstein, probably Epstein.
I know the Epstein, yeah.
About these private islands and these sex crimes, and I didn't really look into it, and then I did. So I'm going to tell you all about it.
Woo! Island sex crimes!
So in the beginning of last month, July, this billionaire guy was convicted, and he's already a convicted sex offender. He was arrested for alleged sex trafficking of dozens of minors in New York and Florida between 2002 and 2005. So prosecutors claimed that he lured underage girls, some as young as 14, to his luxurious homes in Manhattan and Palm Beach. So he had this whole thing where he would bring them in and pay him large amounts of cash for massages.
Wow.
Yeah. He then...
Those are called sexy massages.
Yes.
This is not an episode for my father or for Paul. Earmuffs.
Earmuffs all around. So Epstein then allegedly molested them and encouraged them to recruit other young girls to come back with them.
Wow.
So the victims who came back with new victims were paid a finder's fee. So here's a quote from the U.S. Attorney's Office. In this way, Epstein created a vast network of underage victims for him to sexually exploit, often on a daily basis. So I was like, who is this guy? And I looked it up.
Yeah, who is this guy? So it said
he's a hedge fund manager. I was like, well, what the fuck's a hedge fund manager?
Finances.
So I looked that up. And I got an equally vague description, which said, a limited partnership of investors that use high-risk methods, such as investing with borrowed money in hopes of realizing large capital gains.
I know this. So this is like the financial crisis with housing. So it's betting on the losers sometimes in order to win. you were going to say a thing. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you.
Right? So, like, when the housing market collapsed, a lot of that had to do with giving out faulty loans or giving out loans that people knew were predatory to people who couldn't afford them.
I got one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I finally got out of it, but I suffered for a while.
So the high interest rate to people who they knew couldn't pay it back, and then betting against them. So they knew that it wasn't going to happen, then they'd bet against them and then continue to make money off of people losing their homes.
So whatever he was doing, he was financially successful because he's a crazy billionaire.
Doesn't mean it was right, Epstein.
So he's at the moment, yeah, just recently. He just got arrested last month.
Yeah.
So a decade ago, he faced similar charges, but he escaped federal prosecution.
Prostitution.
The prosecution. I was distracted by somebody driving through the alley. Because he had a shockingly lenient plea deal. So at that time, about a decade ago, he pled guilty to state charges involving soliciting prostitution and soliciting a minor for prostitution.
Jeez.
But under his deal, he only got an 18-month sentence in county jail, and he only served about a year. So there was a lot of outrage at that time from all the alleged victims in the case.
I bet.
So this guy's a registered sex offender. But probably because of his influence and connections. He used to be, I don't know if he still is, but he was friends with Clinton, friends with Trump, friends with Prince Andrew, friends with lots of, like, high-up people. Oh my God, we're so cute! So these new charges carry a 45-year maximum sentence, which he'll probably be dead by the end of that because he's kind of an older dude. So the prosecutors are seeking forfeiture of his 21,000 square foot townhouse in Manhattan where some of his alleged crimes took place. Investigators found nude photographs of what appeared to be underage girls. And then some of his employees were also indicted because I guess they helped him arrange and meetups with these people. So they're attempting to keep him detained until his trial because he's a significant flight risk because he's so rich.
He can just pay to get
He could pay to just disappear himself. Yeah. He could do like Tay-K did last time, cut off his bracelet and like tweet like
and then rap a song about
rap about it. Fucking out of here. Maybe The Race should be his, like, new theme song.
Yeah.
So more than three dozen possible victims were identified back in the old 2005 to 2006 investigation. But since then, the Herald has identified nearly 80 girls that were molested by him.
Wow.
And a lot were identified as minors, so their names are protected. Most were girls that were between the ages of 13 and 16 when they were targeted by him back in like 2001 and beyond. A lot were from low-income households, so they're going to be more susceptible to these offers of big cash.
Yeah.
Cash for massage, you know, thing that he was running. Witnesses have said that he's brought hundreds of additional victims from around the world.
Which you think, because he makes so much money, he can travel and take advantage of people in other countries who don't have the same jurisdiction
exactly.
and laws.
So a friend said that he had told them, "I only have two interests, science and pussy."
This reminds us of a prolific, that time of night, prolific leader that we have.
Well, I mean, they do know each other.
Do they?
Yeah. I just said that. You weren't even listening. You're on your phone looking at our cute photos.
I know.
So you're, I mean, at least you're forgiven because of something I'm interested in.
I know. I was trying to
You
asked me to
Used to hang out back in the day, I guess, with Trump and Clinton. And, I mean, lots of people. Just wait till I get into it here. Okay. So he had a passion. This is a quote from the New York Times. A passion for cutting-edge science that at times verged into eugenics.
Do our folks know what eugenics is? It might be a good thing to talk about.
Maybe not, but here I'll explain it. So multiple sources have told the Times that Epstein described a plan to inseminate women at his ranch outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and that he had planned to impregnate 20 women at a time as a means of strengthening the gene pool. So he thought very highly of his genes and wanted to impregnate multiple women, but not necessarily have relationships with these women or be involved in the child rearing.
Yeah. And to be clear, eugenics was used a lot during the Holocaust by Hitler to justify not having certain traits be passed down, such as, you know, being Jewish or being gay. Like, a lot of minority traits.
Yeah, certain genes were considered superior.
But, like, there's no way to justify that whatsoever.
No, and this guy's creepy, creepy.
I'm going to look up his picture.
Okay,
go ahead. Keep talking while you do.
All right, he also has an interest in cryogenics.
Freezing? Is that freezing?
Yeah, so he had told people that upon his death, he'd like to have both.
Ew, what a creepy face. That guy?
Okay, that's a horrible picture of him.
Are you justifying him right
now? I'm just saying.
Oh, is it this?
Yeah, there's a better picture. That was probably post-jail, that other one.
Yeah. This one is like him in front of mathematician, statistical writing.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like your general, good-looking, older, rich dude.
I wouldn't call him good-looking. I know too much now, but I'm biased.
I'm just talking surface. So he told people that upon his death, he'd like to have both his head and penis put on ice.
Gross. Ew. Neither heads are worthwhile.
Well, I mean, what does a reanimated penis do or look like?
It does vagina, I'm sure, is his goal.
But it's not even going to have, is it going to have balls?
He's going to attach it to his future body of someone else.
It would have,
with his head on
a couple squirts max in there. Like, it's pointless.
And I don't think he really cares about that.
It's like a reanimated gross dildo that nobody wants to use.
He just likes to think that people think that his penis and his head are enough, important enough to do that to.
Oh, my God. It's so narcissistic. It's gross.
It's really gross. Just stick it in a blender. All of it.
Oh, did I watch a movie about that?
Did you?
I don't know. I feel like I probably did.
I feel like I just made it up, but I don't watch movies like that often.
Maybe that was just a nightmare I had. I don't know.
Something else Paul needs to put earmuffs on for?
So Epstein convened 21 physicists on his private island in 2006 for a meeting on gravity. So he was always followed
Does it work? Yes.
By, a group of young women and then scientists, interestingly. So scientists were part of his entourage. So he had these young, beautiful women and scientists.
Did you see his caricature?
Caricature?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Of him in court.
So that's probably just in the last few days.
Oh, really? Yeah, so
he's because he just got arrested last month.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he looks much older there, too.
The artist is probably I'm going to accentuate all these lines.
Yeah, all these little... here's one.
Yeah, he looks super shitty there.
Yeah. They, really made the fact that, some spot on his chin was really red. I felt the need to call attention to that.
Good. So, said that as some collect butterflies, Epstein collected beautiful minds. And his butterfly slash beautiful minds were almost always men. So in like 2002, for example, 20 scientists were flown into the island for a meeting on AI, and 18 were men. So he hung out with a lot of really famous scientists. And so there's this big list here, and I was shocked that like Stephen Hawking's on it, and Stephen Jay Gould, who I've read like all his books, mm-hmm. and I'm a major fangirl, he's on this list, like all these scientists. He liked to have them as part of his entourage, these brilliant scientific like men. Curses. Yeah, like butterflies, they say.
Yeah, I collected them. I did hear that, I'm just saying.
Occasionally women would show up, but people are thinking maybe they're being screened as potential breeding partners.
Ew, why the term breeding partners? Why can't it be like a casual hookup? I don't think I can pre-funk with the 7% prior to coming here. But I mean, yes, everything he's done is disgusting and gross, but like many people, it's considered, oh, they like casually hook up, or oh, they're like, I don't know, like the fact that breeding partners sounds
because
pretty...
he had stated to people that he wanted to impregnate all these women for his eugenics project, but he didn't want to have relationships with them or raise the kids.
But like, do they know that those women that came there were for that?
No. This is speculation.
And full of themselves.
This is just speculation.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he had primarily men come, scientific men. Yeah. And like once in a while he'd have a woman. So they're trying to reason out why you would have a woman.
Well, because he's a man with a penis who's full of himself and narcissistic, obviously up to the brim. Doesn't mean he doesn't think it's being used for that, but I doubt that woman was, like, walking out of, like, I'm his breeding vial.
No, and if she's a smart woman, she's not...
Well, I don't know how smart she is either, but, you know.
Well, I mean, this list of smart people, they were all kind of...
Wait, were they saying that it was a smart woman that would come in out of all the men?
Yes, like occasionally he would have a scientific woman come.
Okay, but how come all these men can come, but one smart woman comes and then she's breeding stock? Why can't she be a smart woman that he also consults with? Do they have facts otherwise?
No, but they're just saying because he primarily had men that maybe he was being judgy with, like, men are legitimately there to be smart, but women are there to be my breeding partner because they're smart, but... Also,
do we have proof that
a place for me
them?
To put my thingy.
But do we know that he had sex with
them? No, this
is
all speculation.
Because it does sound like, I mean, because there are many smart scientists as well who are women, and maybe he actually wanted them involved.
But he had mostly men.
Because, again, he's a narcissist.
Yeah, it was like 90% men.
So having an occasional woman who happens to be smart enough that he considered bringing in doesn't sound that
I would like to know who the women were.
Come forward.
I would like to
tell us,
like, see, like, were they like young and beauty types,
young,
or
and
was
beauty.
He,
or were these scientists who came in and consulted?
Like, his
and,
was he respecting their minds?
Yeah, was this more of him not bringing in?
I mean,
enough
you can be beautiful
women?
And smart too.
I know, and
like
that,
us, but I don't know.
I'm just saying,
reporting this material.
I'm just saying it sounds like the reporters could also potentially be biased in the sense that, like, okay, it makes sense to me, honestly, that a guy who is narcissist would have mostly men and occasionally have a woman scientist come in. That makes sense.
Right. It
doesn't necessarily mean that he's, like, treating her as breeding stock.
Exactly.
But it could be. I don't know.
We don't know. I know. We don't. But he did have a helicopter that was built for cuddling.
Oh, I want one of those. Cuddling copter.
So it's for sale right now. You can get it for $3 million.
Ew.
It was part of his aviation fleet that he allegedly used to shuttle young girls and women to the Hamptons and to, like, Manhattan and, like, to this island. So, yeah. His island has lots of names. Pedophile Island, Orgy Island.
Wow. Where was this island at?
In the Caribbean.
Or, like, just randomly? Okay.
Yeah, I guess we had two islands, like one bigger one, and then one that was 70 acres, and then one smaller one. So even though he was a convicted sex offender, he was still...
Did you say convicted?
Convicted. That was a Freudian slip. He was a super convict.
Convicted felon.
So he'd, like, bring these women in and out, and, like, nobody did anything. It was said that he tipped really well, so everyone overlooked it. So... Just a couple days ago, he was found semi-conscious in his jail cell with marks on his neck, and they're not sure if it was self-inflicted or if he was attacked.
I read that news article.
So here's a picture of this, like, temple he just built on his island.
Yeah, it looks like the temple I built on my island.
Isn't that...
Yeah, it's nice.
Odd.
I think he copied me and my Egyptian...
Did you build that on your island, too?
We did.
Oh my god.
My island's near the Pacific coast.
So I looked past a headline and decided to dive into it and see what was going on. And
the pedophile island, apparently.
Yeah, it was this, like, creepy guy that was able to buy his freedom for a long time. I'm hoping, you know, it's a different time now, and he's not going to be able to get away with it as easily.
Because he's in jail.
Yes.
For how
he's
long?
He's in jail. Well, he has to have his whole deal. His whole legal deal.
Okay, gotcha. So it's not done yet.
Well, I mean, I don't know what those sketches were from. Maybe that was like...
Probably from court.
A pre-deal. I'm not a lawyer. So, yeah, that's Jeffrey Epstein. I've been seeing those headlines for a while, and, you know, it hadn't interested me.
Yeah.
And so I decided to dive in.
So,
and I'm glad I did, because I think freezing your penis is disturbing.
It is very disturbing. Almost as disturbing as kissing. So, I have a question for you. Did you see the headlines, yesterday over the weekend? I flew in from D.C. and saw, on the, intermittent TV because of,
all the shootings that you're talking about?
Yeah, all the shootings that have been happening.
So many shootings.
Two, over the weekend.
There was also the one...
28 people?
There was also the one in Gilroy at the Garlic Festival that was right before
that.
That
was in July, yeah.
Yeah, which was, I think, similarly thematic. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
country's
really
going crazy.
Horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the answer is.
I was thinking of talking about it today, and I was like, it just feels too heavy, too soon, not enough information.
Well,
and
I don't know if I really have anything useful to say.
I don't think we ever have enough useful things to say, but I feel it's just, I don't know, it's just almost a, well, shit, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I feel like I see... You know, I understand gun rights, and I understand the rights of the mentally ill, and I understand... I see all the sides too much, and it's hard for me to really know what a solution is.
All the sides, and I think I agree. I think that's hard, especially when... I mean, even
it's hard
in
to
other
know where
topics,
to land.
Other topics, too. People bring us in, and it's hard to sit somewhere, solidly.
Yeah, and I don't know what a solution is. I mean... I have heard that countries where you, can't get a gun at all don't have mass shootings, at all. So that lends itself...
I mean, it obviously makes a difference.
That would make a difference. But I don't know where the lines are. Where do you draw the lines?
And to some people, gun rights are such a part of the United States that to them, it's...
And what if you're just using it for hunting? That doesn't seem right to take
that
away.
I get that, too, because I know people who hunt, and they would never hurt somebody.
No, they would never. They're so responsible.
I mean,
and hunting is... I think hunting for your meat is, a better choice than me going to buy some meat in a styrofoam thing at the store.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's better to have that personal relationship with your meat and, like, look it in the eyes and like, I'm going to eat you and kill you.
Say a little prayer for it as it goes. Like, thank you for what you've offered to me today, which is much different than what happens. Why are you looking behind you like that? That's terrifying.
Do you not hear that scratching sound? I feel like Kiwi's... Is she on top of my head? What's happening? You didn't hear that?
Right there.
Did you not hear that,
she's
though?
She's right there. Look, no. On the wall behind you.
That's what I'm afraid of, that she's levitating on the ceiling above my head. You didn't hear that scratching sound? Jesus Christ. I'm psychotic.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where a hard and fast line would be drawn. I mean, think there's obviously something that needs to change, but I don't know what it is. So it's tough for me to really talk about.
To me, it's like, can we live without guns? Yes, we can. Nowadays, yes, we can. Does it mean I think that that should be taken away from people? No, I own a gun. I'm not going to say that I don't. But do I think that everyone that owns a gun, including me, is somebody that's going to hurt somebody? No, I don't think that either. And do I think teachers should be armed? Absolutely not. I do not think that's okay. So there's a lot of, like, things
there's
that people
so many
have
moving pieces.
Ideas.
Yeah. That's why it's tough to know. Like, I don't know. I don't have a solution.
But ultimately,
I know
mental,
it fucking sucks.
Ultimately,
yeah.
Mental health ties into a lot of it. It really does. Lack of education, lack of support, lack of connection for people is huge.
But also idealism falls into it, too.
But that ties in with connection. Because a lot of these people, again, with tying into what we've talked about before with the 8 channel... they go in there for 8 connection.
8chan?
8chan, yeah. 8 channel.
I think, what are we, truckers?
Channel 8. Yes, 8chan. So they go in there, though, for forms of connection with people. And
yes.
They get that support. They get that guidance.
Yeah.
They get a mission and purpose in life. And I think a lot of people nowadays... in general, are missing purpose in life and missing connection
and feeling
with people.
Disconnected, yeah. And in America, you know, we have so many different cultures and groups and diversity, and we want to make a cohesive whole, but that's a huge challenge. And if people feel marginalized from their community,
they don't feel connected enough to relate.
You're not gonna see your community as
you don't feel seen and heard
lives. Yeah. No. So I would rather direct my energy into that area.
Me too.
In fact, you wanna hear my idea I had?
Yes.
Along these lines?
Tell me.
I've lived in this house since we bought this house in 1996, me and my ex-husband.
Wow, I didn't know
so
that.
Like fucking how long is that? Like 20,
I don't
100
do math,
years.
Especially after I drink.
2,800 years.
2,800 years.
Yeah, and I
sounds right.
Don't even, my neighbors to that side, like, I've barely talked to, like, I don't even know my neighbors. So here's my idea. I was going to get, like, a 6-pack of something tasty and, like, for all my neighbors and put a little note on, like, say, hey, I'm your neighbor. Here's my phone number. Here's my
email. If you
ever
need anything.
If my house is burning down.
Let me know.
But also, like, yeah, if you need anything, like, so, I'm hoping they'll reciprocate and.
Yeah.
Let's build some bridges.
I agree with you. So I've lived in my house now for almost 4 years. And when we lost power that 1 year, I mentioned that earlier, like, my house was on a different grid. Everyone else had power around me, and I did not.
Mercy.
And I was, like, dying of cold. And my dad had to come and bring, like, this, like, propane heater because I was freezing to death. And then we ended up just going to Seattle because it was like, fuck this. And but nobody came to help. And that was what surprised me. Like, you can see that my lights have been off for 4 days past your days. Like, maybe
like,
help.
Come over. Like, do you need a fucking casserole?
So after that happened, I went up to Green Bluff during the summer after that year and had got a bunch of peaches that I had picked. And I went and I saw the guy, like, working outside. And I walked up and I brought the box and I said, do you want a peach? I just went up to Green Bluff, which is huge for me because I'm not social at all. And he paused and, like, hesitated. And he's like, you know, sure. And he goes and he grabs one. And I just felt this, like, instant, like, oh. And I have no idea why it felt so good, but it did
because
feel
so good. Because that's something we've lost.
It really is. Like, just, like, giving a shit. Like, give a shit.
Yeah, just basic human connection.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't have the answers to those big issues.
No, me neither. But it seems to come down to something basic. Like
yes,
that.
I can, on my own personal day-to-day level and interactions, like, fucking walk what I talk. And I really believe in ripple effect.
It does. It really does matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So I'm doing that thing, what I said. I'm going to do it.
Do it.
And I just said it here, so I'm going to do it before next Monday.
If you do it, I'll do it.
Okay, I'll do it before next
Monday. Knuckle bump on that.
Knuckles.
Okay. So we'll report by next Monday that we both have done that. We've
supplied
a six-pack.
Yes, I'll take a picture of my little gift, my alcohol gift.
So do we have to do every neighbor?
I'm just doing, like, this street.
What if they don't drink beer?
Well, then they suck. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I think beer is like a basic choice.
Common denominator. Yeah. If they don't want it, they can give it to someone else.
That's right. I mean, I don't really drink beer a lot, but if somebody gave it to me, I would still appreciate it.
Yeah, you'd give it to someone else.
Yeah, or like put it in my fridge for like guests or whatever. Yeah. I think it's a thought.
Yeah, it's something you would normally do for friends. It really is. Like, you would only buy beer for yourself or for your friends. So it's kind of that bridge of, hey, friend, I'm taking the risk of opening the door.
And this neighborhood, I mean, this is kind of a hoodie hood.
It's becoming less of hood. It's becoming more of college.
Well, no, it's pretty diverse. So, I mean, you watch my alley. You haven't been seeing my alley that I
trust
can see.
Trust me, you know your hood better than I know your hood, so I won't argue.
No, I just cleaned up human shit from behind my garbage can yesterday. So, no, it's very hoodie. But so a lot of my neighbors do rotate out, but there are some that have been there for a long time, mm-hmm. and I think
like it, you.
Like, well, yeah, I've been here like ridiculously long, and my neighbors over there across the alley. Like, they fucking still judge me from when I first moved in, when I was 25, and
25.
Probably drunk and stupid, and I backed my car into part of their garage.
How dare they?
And I feel like they're like my parents, where they still, like, think I'm that partying, you know, teenager.
You're like, I'm a much more sophisticated woman now.
Yeah.
Do you know how many years I haven't backed into your garage?
Exactly. I'm very careful to not back into their garage.
I think they deserve a beer.
I'm going to give them some.
A bridge beer.
I want to build bridges. I think that's what it's about. It's not about thinking about these giant political issues
that are too big for anybody to solve. If the politicians who are in charge of everything can't solve it, then that's not the way to go.
Yeah, on a grassroots level, we can build bridges and we can set an example and we can walk our talk. Like, if we want, you know, tolerance and acceptance,
then you better be the one out there doing it.
We have to do it, and we have to do it with people that we don't know, that maybe have differing viewpoints.
And be, like, willing to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Because I think we've gotten in such a comfort mode that if I don't feel comfortable doing something, I'm not going to do it. And that's not how the world works.
And it's not just about tolerating and accepting those people that you like. I mean, it's going to mean the most to tolerate and accept those people that have vastly different viewpoints than you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that, I mean, that's the challenge.
So until next...
We really got on a soapbox today.
We did. Until next time... The little things count, and reach out to those people in your life that you normally wouldn't.
Give your neighbors some beer.